But 10 unchangeables, things that you cannot change, and in fact, they're things that God determines for you. Okay, and even other people really don't to a large degree. Okay, the song says one of a kind, but it's speaking of your body. Okay, your physical features and capacities. You can see the whole list. Whether it's how you look, how you're shaped. And I'm talking about DNA structure. We're not addressing underweight or overweight or things like that, because you can impact that to some degree. Yes? Right? To some degree. But some of us, even in the Army, I could eat probably an armored personnel carrier's worth of food in a meal, and probably I would slightly lose weight because my metabolism was so high. Now I look at a cookie and I gain a half a pound, right? So some of that's life, but some of it's lifestyle, but some of that's DNA too. Some people live all their life and they don't have to worry about weight. And other people, they worry about weight ever since they were born, right? So those are physical things that are sometimes factored in for you. We can live healthy, but we have to work with what God has given us as well, right? Physical features and capacities, it could be your health. If you listen to George Bush's funeral at all today, Senator Simpson, I think he is from Wyoming. Anyway, this guy, I don't know how old he is, but he's clear as crystal in his mind. I don't think I've ever been as clear of as crystal as Alan Simpson is. And he was chosen out of, you know, a vast multitude of people to speak at a president's funeral. But just the clarity, and some people, you know, life gets tough before you're 40 remembering stuff and all that. And he was an excellent orator too. It was just funny and tasteful at the same time. But all of that factors in, and some of that you can't do anything about because it's in your DNA. It's in your bone structure, your athletic ability. We've talked about that on number 5, I think, also, because it's a type of intelligence as well. But your athletic ability is largely determined by your DNA. You can only do so much. You can work with what you have, but you cannot make yourself taller. You can make what you have stronger, but you can't add to what you have to make that stronger, right? You're limited to the physical body you have. Height, metabolism, I mentioned. There's just so many things that relate to that. Even the idea of having to wear glasses or not. It was funny, but my Army recruiter lied to me. And you're like, no. But anyway, I was really close to signing up for the Army, and then I was going to go across the hall and talk to the Air Force recruiter. And he said, well, you can't join the Air Force. You wear glasses. That was a bold-faced lie. But anyway, so God wanted me in the Army, I guess. So. Physical features and capacities. God made you the way you are for a reason. We even think of Paul, who said, whatever it was, I think it was probably an eyesight thing, and that had to do with his health probably later on. But that's a handicap then. It's something you can't do anything about. You have to somehow compensate or cope with that. Your parents and ancestors is number 2. You don't get to choose your parents, right? Some of you say, bummer, right? No, hopefully not. But your parents are who your parents are, right? And I'm thankful I was born to the parents I was born to. They were both born, they were farm kids, very simple lifestyle growing up, a different set of values that I think than a lot of the world get, but I appreciate those values. My dad was the one that always kept the thermostat just a wee bit too cold, because he grew up in a very poor family, and he didn't think anything about it. You know, let's put on a sweater. That was his solution to you being cold, and it worked. So, but your parents are the way they are. My dad had passions. He owned some rental properties, and we fixed up houses, and you learn to do that. He didn't like sports at all, so I never got to really into sports much until he got a little older. He started watching the Iowa Hawkeyes. But And my mom, the same way. She didn't grow up playing sports or whatever, you know, so it was a different attitude and all that, which I am thankful for. I shared before that I'm just glad that I wasn't in a direction where I gave my life to sports, because life would have been completely different for me, probably in failure as much as anything, but still, it would have been a wrong direction for me. My brothers and sisters, we mentioned some of you are only children. Some of you are anything but only children, right? Some of you are from 10 children in your family, and there's 15 kids in ours, and it's a totally different world, you know, in a larger family than a smaller family. Even the idea, what's the first question you get asked if you find out someone's in a big family, besides maybe your name? What number are you? I mean, it's just the conversations are even different, right? They want to know where you are in the pile. But your brothers and sisters, and they, believe it or not, are given to you by God to help mold you, to help you, to shape you and all of that, even to help grow you. In larger families especially, you have a lot of influence on your younger siblings. That if you're in a smaller family, I never knew what it was like to have a little tiny baby brother, because my youngest sibling was only 3 years younger than me. I didn't know anything about it. It was just someone to fight with, not to care for, you know. So it's a different approach. I know it's a rabbit trail. I told my kids, as you get older, everything you say reminds you of something, right? I was amazed when we had a child, our first child, Esther. I was amazed because I thought kids were just stupid till they were five. I mean, because I had babysat, but never really little kids or anything. And I was amazed because they were so smart and so sinful. Two, I've shared this before. Esther doesn't mind me telling. She wasn't even walking yet. We lived in a mobile home in Ludowice, Georgia. And there was some candy somehow on a table, like a coffee table. Remember, mobile homes are kind of narrow. So I'm sitting over here, and this is on the other side of the living room, just across the way. But she can't walk yet. So what does she do? She shimmies all, she sees it, and I saw that she saw it. But then she shimmied out to the side, all the way around, and then she looks at it like she just discovered it for the first time. You know, that's like, Dad, give me a piece of candy. I'm like, you little sinner. You know, kind of, and then I remember even when Hannah was born, Hannah would be playing with something, so Esther would get Hannah occupied with something else because she wants what Hannah played with, and let's do the swap out, you know. So, but brothers and sisters are a big thing, and it really depends. We're going to talk a little bit farther down about more the interaction of brothers and sisters, but some of them are helpful and some of them are not. It depends on how close you are as a family. I mentioned my brothers and sisters, we couldn't be a whole lot closer. My older brother and I, we're 13 and a half months apart. You couldn't be much closer without being twins. And then, in fact, we were often mistaken for twins. But we were close age-wise, but once we started school, we weren't really close at all. Right? It's really different because I am envious of some of my children and the relationships they have with one another. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. I just wish that I could have had something. It's just really neat to have close family friendships and all. Number four, ethnicity and national heritage. Ethnicity is whatever slice of pie you come from in the ethnic background. I'm a Heinz 57, right? I got a little bit of, well, mostly Western Europe type stuff, but all of that. But others might have different things, but that makes a difference to some degree, especially if it's in a culture that's racist or whatever, or if you're, like I was down south and I mentioned it was very racist where I was at, in the military. The external groups of people. And that's, by the way they were raised by their parents. I'm not casting blame as much as that they had to get things fixed in their minds and the truth and all. But also national heritage. I'm so thankful I was born in the United States instead of Iran or Russia or, you know, even the tribe that killed that missionary off of the coast of India. I'm glad I wasn't born there. They don't even... Their only idea about outsiders... They don't know anything about iPhones or heat with, you know, hot and cold running water, but they do know how to shoot arrows. That's all they know, right? So I'm thankful I'm not there. But the national heritage and even the idea, you go any place else in the world and it's so full of corruption and bribery and all of that. It's not that there isn't some of that in the United States, but we're so much better from a legal and righteousness, even if it's an externally expected and demanded than other places in the world. Mexico is horrendous. South American countries are horrendous with regard to bribery or whatever. If you get in trouble here, you can face a good chance of getting at least reasonable justice. Not anywhere else. Not in a lot of places. So there's lots of things. But even the heritage that we have for lots of reasons with the United States. So, number five is mental abilities. I handed out last week. I don't have it this week, but if you have the song from last week, I handed out a list of seven different intelligences, and I'm not naive enough to think they're the only ones. But there's spatial intelligence, there's numeric intelligence, there's people intelligence. There's word intelligence. There's at least four of the seven. Athletic intelligence in a kinetic sense. Okay, there's different things like that. So everyone is different. And everyone, you might be good at something but not be so good at something else. I was interested, was it Matt Whitaker? He's the guy that is at least the interim attorney general. He's from Iowa, I think you call. But he played, I don't know much about him. I know more about him now than I did before. But he played at Iowa. And he finished his four-year degree in 3 years and then was in law school his fourth year of playing Iowa football. You don't see that much, right? To where you have a great capacity both for athleticism and books. And I'm not saying an athlete can't do that, but I'm saying that's excelling where you go faster than normal. So pretty neat idea, you know, neat there. Again, the learning experiences, even if you're smart, if you grow up in a different place, you don't get the educational opportunities. Or if you have a bad teacher even though you're in school, they don't really know algebra any better than you do. And that doesn't help you learn algebra. Okay, or whatever the case might be. So it really depends. Or if you have a really good teacher, it makes a difference too. But the mental abilities, and that goes beyond to your physical ability to do stuff then. Okay? If you can... Some people's minds are wired to type fast. I mean, they can literally type 150 words a minute. Some kids text that, I think. But other people, man alive, you can't get them to do, you know, 5 words a minute because they're still looking for the key. Hunt and peck kind of thing. And again, some of that is just the way God wired different people. Okay, so I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, my older brother couldn't spell worth a hoot. He was like a C, C-plus student, but he's an amazing leader and an amazing businessman, right? He never really did that well in school. From a, you know, C, C-plus student's not bad, but he has always been a strong leader and a good leader, and he has good people skills and all that too, and has been very successful in the business world, and now he ministers as a emergency nurse all around the world as a second career. So kind of neat that way. So just different people, talents and passions. So it depends. Even if you can do something, you might not like to do it. I mentioned accounting. For me, we are a numbers family. My dad was a banker and really good in numbers, and my two brothers are in that field or have been in that field, and I always did really well in math, but I didn't want to audit anybody's books. That didn't any fun to me, you know. So again, part of it's your passions, and I think it's the way God made you too. Number six, my time in history. Why, we live in a strange time and an amazing time. There's so much information at our fingertips that never used to be. The biggest expenditure of most parents when I was growing up is they bought their kids a set of the internet. It was an encyclopedia set, and that was your internet. Yeah, I don't know how many volumes there were. It was A to Z, but it wasn't 26 volumes. And then there was an index, and we had World Book, and so you get an updated one every year. But that was like all you had. And now you can find out about anything you want on the internet. And that's amazing, and it's wonderful. Okay, so it's good that way. You don't have to go to the library. You can access books online, or you know, or purchase electronic books or whatever. Who would have thought of that? The first book I ordered, I was still in elementary school, but I ordered a book and it took like 3 weeks to get to the bookstore. And now I can buy it instantly online. I could do it in front of you right now in seconds. Right? That's just amazing. And then carry it around and look at it on any device I want. That's an amazing time that we live in. But also, it's also made sin that much more available. Sinfulness, right? Pornographic books and wicked influences and different things like that. So I think it's everything that comes that's good always has its counterpart that's used in a bad way. It doesn't make the internet bad. It doesn't make computers bad. It doesn't make printed matter bad. But it's used in a bad way many times. So we live in that time in history where all of that. So the political environment is a lot different when I was growing up than what it is right now. There was a statesmanship, and there was fear of the elected officials of the populace, and now they don't care what you think. Many of them don't, because they're not too worried about that. Totally different world in just a short amount of time. Growing apostasy, I think there's a greater and greater shallowness in many churches. And it breaks your heart, but people don't know the Bible. And they have many copies of it. So it's not like the lack of access. Now you can get buy a study Bible on sale, Kindle version, for $4. Well, actually $3.99, I'm rounding up. Incredible. Or just buy one. We bought some Bibles recently at Christian Book. And it's an amazing. 20-some dollars for a leather, bonded leather bound Bible. You used to pay $100 or more for a Bible. And that's when money costs a lot. It was worth a lot more, right? Just phenomenal now. So there's so much there. Number seven now. We haven't covered number seven, right? So, my gender. God determines whether you're male or female. Okay, where do we find that in the Bible? Since this is a church, let's bring up the Bible. Shall we? Genesis. How far do you have to read into Genesis to find that out? You have to be louder.
Genesis
1:26. First chapter. So if you're weak in your resolve to read through the Bible, you're still going to get the gender thing if you read through the first chapter. How many genders are there? Two. I had a conversation even today on Facebook. Facebook is a big time-sucking waste of time for most people. I think it is. It's still an avenue to stay connected with friends and all that. But I use it. I interact with pastors and I interact with other people. I have a a man that I grew up with in school. He lives in the D.C. area, and he's a homosexual. He's a very gentlemanly-like man. But he'll interact with stuff. One of the things that we had today, it was something that another guy posted, and this guy is very thoughtful, and he challenges what you say, not out of arrogance, but out of information. And he'll make you want to think before you post something, because you need to think about it before you post it. But one of the things that was posted today, what's gender dysphoria? What's gender dysphoria? I don't even know how to spell it, I don't think. Let me tell you, the last 10 years, we have seen so much upheaval with regard to the roots of normal thinking, that this is now normal thinking. Oh, it's beyond pronouns. You don't know if you're a man or a woman. And it leads to the idea of gender dysphoria is the idea where even young people, I'm talking like five-year-olds, they're having them go through gender changes, at least at a chemical level, because the kid has some kind of proclivity to be a girl instead of a guy, or a guy instead of a girl. The conversation we had today was, well, one guy had posted, and it's, you know, it used to be too considered, that was considered, the idea that you wanted to act like a woman if you're a man, but you're really a man. So on, it used to be considered a mental issue. Mental is in, there's something wrong in your head. You're not thinking right. Now, I believe there could be some physical things, because every one of us here lives in a sin-cursed body. Have you noticed? If not, hang around for a year or two and you will, right? Because things will start falling apart on you or not working as well. But there's mental, and by the way, even your mental part, what do you think with? Help me out. This is not hard. I'm not asking a trick question. Your brain. What is your brain? It's physical. It's impacted by sin as well, right? So part of it, so there's a mental issue. There's maybe possibly physical issues. It could be things that are DNA that's damaged or whatever. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying there's at least that possibility. But also, I think one of the biggest things in recent history is what people are being taught. They're being taught that there's no man or woman. They're being taught that there's no, your physical gender has nothing to do with your sexuality or your sexual identity, and that's just dead wrong, right? So to me, the whole idea of dysphoria isn't that there isn't legitimate people wrestle with it, but a lot of it comes through, I believe, education. A five-year-old does not start thinking that way without some kind of influence. And when they start teaching all of this in school and say there's no right answer, all that does is bury people in confusion that never used to be there. Okay? But gender dysphoria, the confusion of gender, what does the Bible say? There's male and female. And listen, those are very specific and they're physically identifiable. And I'm not just talking externally, but I'm saying from a DNA level, you're a male or a female at conception because of your DNA. And God said there's a male and a female. He made them male and female. Everything else is a perversion or a deviation, that, and it needs to be identified as that. God made you a woman, if you're a woman, because he wants you to be a woman. If you're a man, God wants you to be a man. That doesn't mean that you don't have some people might have feelings like, you know, that are kind of gender dysphoria. And a lot of that, I'm saying, comes from the entertainment we watch. It comes from the education people get and all of that. It's not addressed. We're impacted by sin, and this will be there. So don't call somebody an idiot if they're wrestling with this, but help them find out what God has said about it. And it's no more of a accurate way to, or inaccurate way to look at things than if you're an adulterer. Or if there's something else. If you have, the Bible says you're not to live by the lust of your flesh, right? Just because you have a desire doesn't mean it's good that you have that desire. I like to eat. That's a lust of the flesh. Now, it's not bad unless I eat in a way that's uncontrolled, right? If I live to eat rather than eat to live, right? And I know there's a lot of loose ground in there, right? Some people would probably shoot me if I drank a can of Pepsi. I don't drink a lot of pop anymore or whatever. But other people live off this stuff. And I'm not saying there's a right or wrong in that big scope of things, though we know a lot about what makes us healthy and what makes us unhealthy to some degree. You know, we need the exercise, and I certainly don't get a lot of exercise riding a chair all day, every day, because that's what my work does. My church work, my hobby, everything is a chair, right? So I have to go and make extra effort, and that's very hard to do. For me, anyway, but the whole idea is these are defined by Scripture, male and female. You might struggle with that, but it's a sinful thing. It's a perversion if it's sin, or it's an inclination that might even be brought on by physical impact of sin on your body, or your brain is part of your body, and it could be a mental thing that's oftentimes you wouldn't have thought about that until it was introduced in some form of education or influence. Could have been friends, or it could be teachers. And even the idea too, one of the things you see that's huge there, I don't know what we're going to shift from gender confusion, but it's probably still in that level. But homosexuals, male homosexuality, it used to be a percentage of around 96% that grew up without a father. So the issue isn't physical. It's not even mental by a standalone thing. They just don't have influence from men. And you can't fix something at the end if you're not fixing what caused it in the first place, right? There's so much of that, and people have rejected, and that's just years and years we've known that, right? The whole absent father thing makes a big deal in kids' lives. That's why God set a male and a female to create what's known as now the nuclear family, which, by the way, is getting farther and farther away from reality in the day we live in. Let's look at a couple. Well, there's no passages here, but you know, Jesus referred to the male and female in the Gospels, right? He reaffirmed that idea. Where else in Scripture does it identify male and female? Might not be in those terms, but gender, two genders and only two genders. How about Ephesians? Wives and husbands, right? That's distinct as well. That's identifying the male as a husband and a wife, the female as a wife. But those are gender-specific terms that relate to that. So it's all the way through Scripture. And even in the book of Revelation, the church is called the what of Christ. The bride of Christ, it's a picture. The whole idea of marriage from beginning to end of Scripture, you have to reject all of the Bible to reject the idea of gender. It's not how you feel. It's not how you're tempted. It's in the same category as being tempted to commit adultery or tempted to look at pornography or whatever. All of that stuff goes in the same thing. It's all sin. Ultimately, we have leanings towards sin, but it is never right to yield to those leanings, right? And yet, in our day, there's denominations that affirm homosexuality, not even in the church, but as for pastors, right? It's gotten that far away from this. So this is something that's there. Male or female, the physical characteristics of a male versus female, emotional differences, and again, those are big picture things, because I've met some real hardcore women and I've met some real pansy guys, and I'm saying that from their emotions standpoint. You know, God wires people differently. Design responsibilities. If you're a male, God has different demands on you. We even mentioned Ephesians 5, right? The husbands have a different responsibility than the wives do. And you see that all the way through Scripture. Even in the Garden of Eden, who was created first? Adam. And then God had Adam name all the animals. By the way, those are not children. They hadn't come by yet. The real animals. And then he created Eve. But before he created Eve, he commanded Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before Eve was in existence. We don't have any record of God telling Eve directly. Why? Because she's under her husband. There's a responsibility that goes along with the gender. And you see that all the way through Scripture. Men lead. Or they're supposed to lead. That doesn't make them perfect. In fact, it makes it even, I think, harder because they're sinful. And women follow. And I'm saying this in a general way. Moms lead their children at home. I get that, you know, different things like that. But I'm saying that's a general statement that's true in Scripture, throughout Scripture. You have the Proverbs 31 wife who does all of her stuff so her husband can sit with the elders at the gate. Not the wife. And it has nothing to do with her mental or intellectual capacity. It's God-assigned roles. And all of that goes with gender that starts where again? Genesis 1. It's not that. If there's anything that's not confusing in Scripture, it's gender and gender roles. Okay? And then limitations. Gender limitations. That's getting more and more confused today too. And we live in a day, and I'm not trying to be a prophet, but there will come a point because of all of this and the feminist, the militant feminist movement and also the militant homosexual movement, they want to destroy any distinction of gender. They've tried to do that in the military already, and they're wrestling with that, trying to fix some things that have already been broken. A homosexual, when I was in the military, would be kicked out of the military because it was seen as immoral. Okay? Now it was don't ask, don't tell, and now it's, hey, you can be transgender. Now, our president now is fighting against that because there's all kinds of issues that go along with that. Okay? Like people go in the military so they can get their sex change operations. Right? That they're not even militarily capable anywhere along there. Okay, which is, it just adds confusion and all that. But limitations, throughout Scripture, you see that the military was who? Male. All right, they were the fighters, they were the protectors. And again, that doesn't mean that if someone attacks your house, your wife can't beat the guy in the head or the whoever the attacker is with a frying pan or a 45. Preferably the latter. Right? But that idea. But now it's so confusing now. It's just in the last few years of our lives, this has all been flipped upside down. Literally within the last 10 years. So we'll see that as different. But God gave you your gender on purpose. as a male or a female on purpose. Neither is better or worse. I'm glad I had a dad and a mom. Right? And each had different capacities and strengths and weaknesses. But I'm thankful I'm one of the rare ones anymore that had both a dad and a mom growing up. But that was God's design, a dad and a mom from the beginning. And there's so much you can add to that. Raising kids with a dad and a mom makes a huge difference. As you pile the imperfection on, it's still there. The goodness of it. Number eight. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in this, but my birth order. This is one that they bring up in the song. And if there's one that I would possibly remove from the list, it would be this. Not because you don't have any say over, because you don't. Susanna, what number are you? Seven. See, she knows what I'm talking about. Daniel? What number are you?
13.
Let that sink in for a moment. We're not superstitious. But he was the first kid to go to the hospital with a broken bone. Just bringing that up. And he wasn't even two. And 2 weeks later, he was in the ER for something else. I called him Captain Dangerous. Yeah. Guy looked like someone had thrown him out of the window or something of a moving car. Anyway, it does make a difference to some degree what number you are. So people have written books, but they're like, for some reason, they can only think as deeply as like three or four people. The birth order book. And it's like, number one, that's not a biblical concept. So I would say, I think the Hebrew word is hogwash. So don't put a lot of effort. It's true that you're whatever number you are. Okay? What number are you, Abigail?
Three.
See, big families, they memorize that number. Some of you would have to say, like, I'm two, technically. The first baby my parents had died, so I'm functionally two. But if you're number one, you might be a different person than number two because of how you're raised or your responsibility. Plus, also, too, number one, number two, number three, number four, maybe somewhere around there, your parents are still figuring it out. I feel sorry for you, I really do. Because they didn't know what they were doing, and that was obvious because now they treat your siblings completely differently than they treated you. I know that because that's what happened in our house. Right? We just treat, you know, we mellow out a little bit. Oh, it's not earth-shattering, I guess. We'll just deal with it, right? But if your birth order makes a difference, and I would include the number of siblings you have, because you learn things when you're in a larger group that become automatic. You train the older kids, and the younger kids kind of learn how to do it without having to train them that much. Right, Thomas and Abigail? Right? It works to some degree anyway. But I mean, even this, the caring thing. But also, some people try to define if you're a firstborn, you're this. And if you're a secondborn, you're that. I think they're trying to make things true that aren't true. That's making up stuff from Scripture that the Bible never teaches. So don't put a lot of weight in it. But if you're still third or second or fourth, or I have one that's 15th. He's like a built-in grandchild at our house. He gets away with me. He's a good kid. But I mean, everyone's just like, oh, he's the prince. Crown prince or something. But anyway, it makes a difference. Do you have people in your house who are like the sheriff? I'm talking about siblings now, not your parents. Who's the sheriff, Bethany?
I don't know.
No?
Some people are stricter on other people, so it's like...
Okay. So it depends. I was always the family sheriff. It wasn't the firstborn, it was the secondborn. Because my older brother didn't care. You know, he had other things to do. And my younger brother was like, he was evil. He would probably say that and agree with me. But when he was younger, I had no idea how evil he was even. But he was a teaser and all that. Now he's like Mr. Mello. No one would ever even think he was like that ever. Just the nicest guy. He's an elder at his church, and he does all this stuff. It was just amazing. But it depends. What if you're the only sister, like my sister was? Toughest person in our house. She had three older brothers, but she could scream louder than the whole neighborhood. And so we would be like running for cover. Right? But there's at least some level. If you're an only child like Ed, right? It's different than if you're not. If you're one of two kids, it's different than if you're one of three kids or four kids. Right? It really makes a difference. Or how far apart the siblings are. I have, you know, and I'm sure many of you have different scenarios, but I have some second cousins. It's my dad's cousin, actually. But she was born, and then 9 years later, a brother was born, and 9 years later, another brother. They didn't even know each other. Whereas if you grow up and you're almost twins, you, like, know them. Right? It's just cool. It's just neat that way, so. I put it in here, but danger, don't put too much into the birth order. I would not even buy a book on birth order because it is totally external, right? That's how little I put in this. But at the same time, God made you part of the family that he made you in. And I would probably just combine this with brothers and sisters. Okay, so just that's the... It's in the song, but I'm telling you, be careful with that because I put it down here. Putting too much into birth order, these are general characteristics. At least some people try to describe if you're firstborn, you'll be like this. Secondborn, they run out about thirdborn or fourthborn, and then where you go from there. But it's not a mandate, and a lot of people say it to the point that they try to make it come to pass. You know, I'm firstborn, so I have to be this way. That's like the first church I pastored, a guy was there, and he goes, I'm Dutch, so I can't change my mind. I'm like, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, don't get in that mold to say, well, if God made you supposedly third and those are the characteristics of third, guess what? God can change you. And if you're Dutch, God can even have you change your mind. I know that sounds miraculous. But that's, again, the Hebrew term is hogwash. God can help you be whatever you need to be, regardless of what order you were born in. Number 9, aging process. Some people, you don't know how old they are. And other people, it's like they're 30 and they look 130, right? And it might be because of their lifestyle, their DNA. Some people get gray hair or white hair early in life. Right? They just, it changes. Some people lose their hair early in life, sometimes, or later in life. Fewer days, the number of days you live. You don't have control over how you process age to a large degree. You can take supplements, you can exercise, and all of that. But like I said, it really depends on the DNA you inherited, too. I've shared this before, but down in Hunter Army Airfield, the commander of the Range Battalion down there, while I was down in Fort Stewart, was out running one day. He was the specimen of health, and he has a heart attack and dies while he's out exercising. I think it isn't for a lack of exercise. The guy was in the process of exercising when he did. He was 60-something. Do genealogy at all, and you'll almost weep. How many people die young? You know, I read a obituary the other day, and this guy had 6 kids, and 2 were alive. The others died at a younger age. Not miscarriages. I think that's even a separate category yet. I'm talking about kids that you held and carried and taught and sung to, and then they die. Right? And there's that, all of that. So you don't know how old you're going to be, including children and all of that. Your eyesight will fail. Most people have to get glasses. My dad never wore glasses till he turned, I think he was closer to 50. But usually it's around the 40-year mark, and all of a sudden your eyes quit adjusting and focusing. I remember I was leading singing, and I remembered I just couldn't see well. And that's when I had to get the bifocals that are not bifocals that I wear now, right? And it took a while to, you sit there and you're agreeing with everyone, and you're really just trying to find a clear spot to see out of. Hearing, my hearing is going. I don't hear nearly as well. I used to just love the crispness of things. And if I had to choose between hearing and eyesight, I'd always lean for the eyesight myself. Some people would rather hear. But I think it got damaged a lot in the military. And then it's just kind of, you know, it's not bad. I'm not deaf, but I can tell it's, you know, more muffled. But you lose some of that as you get older. Some people do. Other people don't. What about your teeth? Some people's teeth fall out. Other people have their teeth all the way to the end. Weakness. Some people are just really hardy, and other people, they're weak before their time. They get, you know, whether it's arthritis or just weakness in their bones or their heart or their lungs or whatever, and you don't have a lot to do with that. You're aging. Some of it depends on your nutrition, like where you were born and how you were raised and all that, but at the same, or even how you treated your body. To some degree, you have influence, but at the same time, a lot of that's just DNA, how it works for you. I never thought I'd feel this old this young. Or as President Bush spoke about his father today, the goal in life is to die young. How did he say it? To die young is as late as possible. And he said his dad was young at heart, you know. So brittle bones, some people live with just all the maladies of life, and you don't have control over that, but that's aging, and then we brought it thinning of hair. Ecclesiastes 12, this is only the first verse, but remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. That gives you an indication that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the difficult days come. It will get harder to remember things. It will get harder to walk or to do whatever. And even though your mind doesn't believe it, your body will keep reminding you that you are not the age you were. And you can't do what you thought you could. The years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And then 2 Corinthians 12:7-12, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, Paul says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. It's not buffet, Lynn. Buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So even the, if you will, the supernatural things that God might allow us to go through. And ultimately, I think it's all there. Some people fight with headaches. Some people fight with joint aches. Some people fight with shortness of breath. And I'm not talking a health standpoint. I'm just talking aging. Okay? All of that. And even I think about it now when I lost my dad to Alzheimer's. That whole process is there, right? The potential for and it's way more, I don't want to say, what's the, not common, not popular. Popular, yeah, I hope I get it. No. Or dementia of some kind or whatever. That's all part of, it's way more common now than it used to be, but maybe because we're living longer, you know, and people didn't have a chance to. The guy that I told about, he had 6 kids and 4 of them and died. His dad drowned when he was 40. You know, so it's like, well, don't have to worry about Alzheimer's when you drown when you're 40, you know. But I'm, you know, it's a harder life back then is what I'm saying. A lot of people would die prematurely. But the aging process, and then my time of death. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years... yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. When you get that old, it's hard to do everything. Okay, is what it's saying there, labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. One of the things that President Reagan used to say at every funeral is life is a vapor. It will go by way faster than you ever imagined. Okay. Psalm 39, 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man in his best state is but a what? A vapor, just something that's... I see that in the... I mentioned genealogy again. It's like how there's... genealogy is almost lists of people. More than anything else, that's all you have. You have a name of a man and a name of a woman and some of their kids, and maybe where they lived. You might know they're a farmer off of a census, but every one of them had a full life and conversations and friends and troubles and struggles and joys and blessings and gone. It's over. Right? Just... and even when your parents die, you just... that went fast. Right? Life went so fast, because I used to be 20 not too long ago. My kids are like, you were never 20. You know, it was just, I remember being 5 wishing I was 12, and when I was 12 I was wishing I was 19. When I was 19 I wish I was, I don't know, 19 and a half, I don't know. And now I'm like thinking, I hardly remember my 30s and 40s. I'm closer to 60 than I am 50. And it goes fast. Life is a vapor. And there's no guarantee that you'll make it to any particular age. Right? There's not. So there's just so many variables. Like this Dory's relative that stage 4 lung cancer. She's 80. But my daughter had lung cancer when she was 19. And that's not an uncommon thing to have. And the only vice she had was she ate peanut butter. I mean, it's not like she got it from smoking too much or something. Right? So all of that is here to say that God made you the way you are for a reason. It's not to make you look down, but it's to make you affirm the sovereignty and even the providence of God in your life. Sovereignty is like God's plan and He chose it and it's there. But even the providence, because you, God allowed your dad to have or not have a job so he was in a particular place rather than some other place. He lets you meet your mom or your dad. She got to meet the dad. You know, whatever the case might be. All of that is there, and none of that was in your control. Most of life is not in your control. Most of what matters is not in your control. So God wants you to take what He has given you, the moments, the days, and that body of yours, whether it's a specimen of athleticism or beauty, or my body, right? God wants you to use what He has given you for His honor and glory. He wants you to take it as from a Father's hand. What He has made you, what He has designed you to be, man or woman, tall or short, real good with numbers, or what's a fraction again? All of that on purpose for reasons for His glory, so that we all can be used of God in some way. Where you are at. And we can be thankful rather than mad because we're tall, short, bad with numbers, good with numbers, athletic, not athletic, or whatever. You can praise God that He has made you the way you are for a reason. And you can say, you know what? God doesn't, like I say with athleticism, God didn't want me to be an athlete for lots of obvious reasons, but also things that you, like I've shared before, that you didn't really know about me, that probably would have led me in a wrong direction, me, the way I'm wired. And thankfully that turned out to, I think, for the benefit of lots of people, but including myself. I've been able to do something that I can be helpful to God with and helpful to others. But it's not doing anything very athletic at all, right? But it doesn't have to be. Or whatever the case might be. I at times wished I had more education. Not because you can't learn anything you want on the internet now. You can learn Greek, Hebrew, doctrine, whatever. But you get man's recognition when you get letters behind your name. Right? It makes a difference if someone calls you a doctor or not. To some people it does. Didn't do it to Paul. You can call me an apostle or not. Doesn't matter. Because I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a slave of the Lord. That's the letters behind my name. S-L-A-V-E. That's what Paul would say. Right? But all of that, there's different opportunities, different possibilities. But God said, you know what? I got you where you... I need you. I want you. I designed for you to be. Live. Embrace what I've given you and live that out as I have given it to you for my honor and glory to influence that which is eternal, right? Questions or comments? Dr. Jim, anything to add? Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't it roll off your tongue?
Just keep letting it roll. I've learned in the years that we have a way of killing ourselves by degrees.
Yeah, and lots of other things too. Anything? All right, let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for lovingly guiding us, lovingly creating us, lovingly structuring our lives in so many ways that we had absolutely no control over. And Lord, that is each one of these is your realm of influence and not our realm of choice. I pray that we would accept what you've given to us and Lord, be thankful for what you've given to us, regardless of the faults and the things that come with it. Because Lord, we live in a sinful world as sinful beings. But Lord, you've saved us and called us with a holy calling and allowed us to live here and now on purpose for your glory. Help us to do that with a contentment and that you've made us the way we are and where we are and all of that, and a commitment to do what we can the way you've made us, where you've made us, for your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.